I tell you, that's just been my continuous thought of how much that I've been loved and how good God has been to me. Not because of anything I have, not for a plethora of things that I could be thankful for, but just for the love that God has shown me. I want us to look tonight in Matthew chapter 7, and this is a powerful story of grace and forgiveness, of love, and yet it's a lesson about arrogance, bitterness, ungratefulness. I want to read this to you just in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. It says, "Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house." And if you'll remember, several healings had taken place. This is kind of the rise of Jesus' ministry. His name's getting out there. People are hearing about him. The Bible says that there were even some Pharisees that really believed Jesus was the Son of God, but they wouldn't make their what they believed known because they were more concerned with the praise of men than a praise of God. So people are getting interested in who Jesus is. Some are getting interested because there's some stuff they want and they think Jesus can give it. Some are getting interested because they're being threatened that people will turn from the current religious system to really follow Jesus. And so there's a lot of questions. And so the Bible tells us, Luke records this event that takes place at one of the Pharisees' house whose name was Simon. He invites Jesus to come. We don't know why. We don't know all the details, the motivation, the agenda that he had, but he invites Jesus to come. And so Jesus comes to his house. So he went to the Pharisees' house and reclined at the table. And there they are. All these religious leaders, all these people who've tried so hard to keep every letter of the law. I mean, they've really worked hard at this to earn God's grace. And we've talked here 1,000 times. You can never earn what God wants to freely give you. We've said that here. You've heard that. And so they're all there. They're coming together. And I imagine they had questions for Jesus. I imagine they probably more than anything, and this is just my guess, that the driving motivation of their heart was there just to come to the realization as Jesus is with them that he's just a man. There's nothing special about him. I mean, there's nothing to this thing that he's the Son of God. There's nothing to worry about. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that. I'm just guessing. When you think of the arrogant heart of the Pharisees who look down on everybody else in society, you imagine the attitude and what was going on in their hearts, and here they are, they're with Jesus, and Luke will tell us some things later that lead me to believe the things that I've just shared with you. But we come to this moment, something is getting ready to happen that the Pharisees never banked on. Something is getting ready to happen that I believe these Pharisees sitting there would never forget for the rest of their lives. Anybody ever have anything happen that you'll never forget the rest of your life? You may have something like that. I remember one time I was a teenager, and I always tried to act tough, you know, and that's what you do, I guess, when you're my height. You just try to act tough, hope nobody will fight you. And I was with a bunch of my buddies, and we were at a restaurant, and we were getting ready to go to the movies, and I will never forget, a little girl came to our table, and you could tell, because she had trouble speaking, you could just tell that there was something that was wrong with this little girl. And she was selling these little dolls for $1 a piece. I'll never forget it. And she came to our table and she asked, and I immediately recognized that the guys I was with, they just began to laugh and to make fun of this little girl. And for all the tough acting I tried to do, it shattered my heart. I don't know anything about this little girl. I don't know anything about her life. Don't know anything to this day about this little girl. But I just remember getting so upset at these guys who were my friends. And I remember just saying, "Just you guys need to shut up, you know." And then they started making fun of me. And I got up And I had like $20, as I think is what my dad gave me that night, to eat and go to the movie. And I went up to the little girl and I just gave her the $20. Of course, she insisted that I take the dolls. And I kind of did that in a moment of emotion. And halfway in the transaction, I realized what I was doing, you know, and it wasn't really the $20 that bothered me at all, because I felt like a wrong had taken place. And I wanted to try to right that wrong. And so I was just going to give the little girl $20, but you see, she didn't want to be given $20. She wanted to sell the dolls that she had made. And I already knew at this point that I was probably walking home, because I came with those guys. But I was just trying to imagine walking home with 20 dolls. And she insisted, and I took the dolls and I left the restaurant, and I think I walked to a payphone, and my mommy came and got me, and we went to the movies together. So how that night unfolded, and I will never forget that for as long as I live. I'll never forget that. And not even so much the little girl, but how mean these guys were that I was with. And you know, to sit here on a Wednesday night, man, we all can shake our heads and we hate to hear that story, but we know people are mean like that. And I just want to be really honest, the meanest people I've ever met are in church. They're the meanest people I've ever met. What they would say to people. How they would treat people. I remember as a youth pastor at a church, we had this, what I thought was a phenomenal Wednesday night youth program. The church probably only ran a little over 200 in worship, and I'd have 100 teenagers there on Wednesday nights. And I thought it was a great ministry. And I won't get into specifics, but I'll just say that half of the kids that were coming to this youth program on Wednesday night, they didn't look like all the people that were in our church. And that was always a problem for me. I always had to go to deacons' meetings. I always had to meet with people. People were never happy. Nobody would come out and say it, you know. But I knew what they were upset about. I'll never forget when I left that church, one of the first things they did after I left is they stopped the Wednesday night program. And that just broke my heart. It made me just want to write off that whole 5 years of my life. I didn't even want to acknowledge that I was there with those people because they were so mean. And this is what Jesus is about to encounter. Because as they're there at the Pharisee's house, as they're there, this moment happens that I don't think they'd ever forget. Luke never forgot it. He wrote about it. The Bible says this. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. I want you to imagine this, because like I got caught up in emotion where I didn't really realize what I was doing, I think this is kind of what happened with this woman. All she knew is that Jesus was going to be there. I think it's safe to say, reading the text, that she had already had an encounter with Jesus. Because she wasn't coming broken, she was coming thankful. Because indeed, she had been forgiven. And it says that she had lived a sinful life. And I'm always curious, when somebody says that, what do you and I think of when they say somebody's lived a sinful life? I mean, I think we think of the worst things we can think of. Ooh, she was really bad. I was just kind of bad. But she was really bad. She had lived a sinful life. And even today, as I was reading this text over and over and listening, I thought, that's the life that I lived. That I lived a sinful life. That was me. And yet, she was so overcome with belief and faith and thankfulness that she goes to somebody else's house. And she knows probably she's not even welcome in this house. This is the house of a Pharisee. But she didn't care. She goes anyway and she comes right to Jesus. And Luke records that she's just down weeping at his feet. And it made me think today Because there's been a few times in my life, not enough, but a few times in my life that I will be overcome with tears. Because I'm thankful for what God has done. Because I want you to know, I mean, I've done a lot of bad stuff, but there's probably two or three things that I did in my life that I really wondered if God could forgive me. Like all the other stuff, most of us have done that, and you know, God will forgive us of that. But man, when you get into the really bad stuff, and I wouldn't be totally honest if I didn't say even sometimes at this point in my life, I look back at those times and I just say, God, are you sure about those times? Are you sure you forgive me for those times? I mean, those were the bad times. I mean, we all have bad times, but those were bad times. Anybody else have some bad? Y'all look at me like, gosh, I wonder what it was. And let me just go ahead and tell you that I'm not going to tell you. It's none of your business. Just like in your life, it's none of my business. Aren't you glad you don't have to come and confess your sins to me or Pastor Steve? I need to see you again. Well, forget it. That's enough. I've had enough. Aren't you glad? And how many of you would feel that way also? Like, well, you know, that's enough. But I wonder sometimes, God, do you really forgive those? Because those were the bad times. You know what I'm talking about? And here's this woman, and she comes before Jesus in front of the people who would be most critical of her. And she comes, and she's at the feet of Jesus, and she's weeping because she has been forgiven. And I got to tell you, I understand that because I have been forgiven. I mean, you know, when I'm at the altar praying with people sometimes, they try to convince me that God could never forgive them. Like, you don't understand, and you can tell that they want to tell you what they've done, because they know if they tell you, then as a pastor, you're like, well, wow. Whew, I didn't realize all that. You're probably right. But, you know, and that's what they're going. They just want that confirmation. Just tell me he won't forgive me, and then I can go on. Because the hardest thing for us to hear is you're forgiven. You're forgiven. And she goes, and it's a beautiful story. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping. And she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. If you are kissing somebody's feet, you are thankful. And I know that's hard to translate in 2007. It sounds freaky. I know. I understand that. But let me tell you this. In this culture, it was one of the highest compliments. It's one of the highest honors that you would give, is to kiss somebody's feet. That's why when we have Holy Week, the foot washing is the least attended service. But I'm going to tell you something that you may not realize. It is not the least attended because people are saying, I don't want to touch anybody else's feet. That's not the number one response I get. You know what the number one response I get is why people won't come to that service? I don't want somebody to wash my feet, because it is humbling. And here's this woman at the feet of Jesus. And she washes his feet, and she pours perfume on his feet, and she wipes his feet with her hair. And if you know anything about Jewish culture, that's a major no-no, to let your hair down. But she did it. You know why? Because she knew the host wouldn't give her a towel. She knew none of those other men would help her in this endeavor. And she wanted to honor Jesus. And it wouldn't be honorable to walk away with his feet still wet, so she lets her hair down and she dries off his feet with her hair. Listen, this is a woman who understands forgiveness. She had been forgiven. And the heart of tonight is, when is the last time that you were amazed by the love of God? I mean, amazed. I mean, when you think about who God is and who we are, and that He would love us, and that He would demonstrate that love by sending His Son. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have been forgiven, and it is powerful to be forgiving. It is humbling to be forgiven. Have you ever wronged somebody? Have you ever treated somebody in such a way and you just know that you were wrong? And then had the guts to go and apologize with no conditions? And to tell somebody that you're sorry? And then for them to say to you, I forgive you. That's powerful. I don't know that many strong, strong friendships haven't had that in the center of them. Because I'll just tell you right now, because she's not here, the most difficult person for me to apologize to is my wife. Why is that so hard? You are looking at me like, I don't know. It's not hard for us. That is difficult. And that is hard. And to know I was wrong. And I usually don't just do one wrong. I usually pile 7 or 8 of them up on top of that one. I'll tell you another reason why I said it. Because you and this, you know. I can never just get away with one wrong. I'm trying to take away the wrong by adding 9 to it. And I finally come to this point, and let me just tell you, let me help you all in here that are married. She never brings me to that point. But God always does. A lot of times it's Wednesday afternoon. I'm getting ready to preach. And I'm not hearing anything except call home. And I call her. And when she's in the spirit, it's very graceful. When she's in the flesh, she goes, yeah, it's about time. I knew you'd be calling around 2:30. But to be forgiven, that is powerful. That is powerful. And how it forges a relationship. And at the center of our relationship with God is the fact that He has forgiven us. And He didn't have to. He didn't have to forgive me, but He did it anyway. And I guarantee you that my sin was an offense to God. And your sin, it's an offense to God because He's holy, He's just, He's righteous, He's perfect. He's without sin. And my sin is an offense to Him. Luke goes on to record, when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And notice, he says this to who? Anybody just hear what I read? He says this to himself. So my imagination tells me he probably didn't even speak it out loud, but you could tell in his eyes. You know, you can read somebody's eyes sometimes, and his eyes are like, and Jesus knew what he was thinking. And Jesus answered him. Isn't that scary when Jesus answers the thoughts that you didn't make verbal? Because he knows what you're thinking. Like if I don't say it out loud, God won't know. Well, God, never mind, God. He knows! And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. And Simon says, tell me, teacher. Tell me. Go ahead. 2 men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Now, you got to imagine this. The Pharisees weren't just like poor preachers, right? The Pharisees were wealthy. They had a lot. And they very much looked down at the outcasts of society or anybody who they felt were below them. And so these guys had money. And probably in some kind of ways were involved where they loaned money out. Because they had it to loan. And they'd loan it with a great amount of interest. And Jesus tells the story. Well, first of all, they can't get past the fact, what? He canceled the debts. Now that's poor business practice. You don't make money canceling people's debts. I mean, that's ridiculous, Jesus. You know, if you're not taking a business course, if you've not read a business book, you don't do that. And Simon doesn't lecture Jesus. He says, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Now, I love how he even phrases it. I suppose, saying that this is a ridiculous story, Jesus. This is crazy. But, you know, to please you or appease you, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt. And Jesus says, "You have judged correctly." Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman?" Isn't that interesting? Do you see this woman? And Jesus says it. I heard one preacher who's talking about this, that he probably didn't see her because he's better than everybody else. So he probably didn't see her. And Jesus wasn't being sarcastic. He's saying, "Simon, do you realize that this woman is here? Do you see her?" And he wants Simon to look at her. You know why? Because it was hard for Simon to look at her. It was hard for Simon to look at her because she was a sinner. And he was better than she was. And so this is difficult. And Jesus says, "I came into your house and you did not give me any water for my feet." You see, it was just very common practice that when somebody came to your house, they, or at least their servants, would wash your feet. Because everybody's either barefoot or wearing sandals, right? And their feet needed washing. That was just a very common thing you did. It was a way to honor your guest. And Simon didn't even do that for Jesus. That's why I began saying, I think it was all a fluke in the first place. They weren't inviting Jesus to honor him. They were inviting him to expose him. They invited him because they wanted to make sure there was really nothing to this guy. That's why they invited him. So when he came in, he didn't even get the common courtesy that any guest would get who would come into your house. Didn't even wash his feet. "You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss." Again, culturally, another very common practice. That you would kiss somebody. Just very common. There wasn't anything romantic about it. It was just a way to honor a guest. Jesus said, "You didn't kiss me, but she's not stopped kissing my feet since I walked in here." And there are these Pharisees. Jesus said, "You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Your sins. Did you hear that? Your sins. Forgiven. They're forgiven. They're forgiven. And here's this woman. And I wonder at what point that she gets caught up in reality and realizes that she's barged into this house and she's washed and kissed the feet of Jesus. She broke her alabaster jar to honor the one who has forgiven her sin. Jesus has done this. And I want you to know, when you are truly amazed by His love, when you truly are overcome with what Jesus has done for you, you will do things that you don't think you will do. And you may even get caught up in reality and realize, "What am I doing?" And you will hear God say, "You are honoring me with your life. With your life." And so here is this sinful woman who is so grateful because her sin has been forgiven. And it was the only hope that she had, and she knew that. It was the only hope that she had. And she meets Jesus, and her sin is forgiven. And then, in an act of honoring Jesus with her life, she brings, honestly, probably the most valuable thing she had, an alabaster jar. She breaks it. She pours it out on Jesus. Her most valuable thing, to honor Him with her life. That's being amazed by His love. I say this probably almost every Wednesday, and I'll try to think how to say it differently so you don't feel like you're hearing the same thing. But it's the one thing that I think if we could really come to terms with, it would change how we're living our lives. And that is this. You have been given one life to live for the glory of God. This is it. This is that life. And we don't know how close it is to being over. We don't know. But honor God with your life. Know that your sin has been forgiven by a God who loves you, who sent His only Son to die on the cross. And be thankful for that. And you know, don't leave here tonight saying, yeah, well, we've heard all that before. Don't leave here like that. But leave here thankful and grateful to God that our sin, no matter how horrible you feel that it was, and let me just help you, it was all horrible, it was all ugly, and every bit of it was an offense to God, and He forgave it. He forgave that sin. The Bible says that once you are forgiven, you are spotless. You are white as snow. I remember as a youth pastor, I remember just knowing the kids so well that you knew what was going on in their lives. And I can remember one of the most painful parts of being a youth pastor was on Sunday seeing the girls in the youth group who had lost their virginity that weekend. And you could tell it in their eyes. And you could tell that they felt like that they were forever blemished. That for the rest of their life, they would never be white as snow. How many of you remember a moment like that in your life when something happened and you thought, that's it? I am now on plan B with God because I've missed it. But you know what? That is misunderstanding God. He doesn't have a plan B. He is committed to making you more like His Son Jesus every day, regardless of what you do. He's committed to that. You know what? That's why sin is painful. That's why it hurts. That's why as a believer you can only enjoy sin for a fleeting moment. And then it's just pain, sorrow, sadness, wondering if you will ever measure up to God again. And you know what Luke tells us? You can. That is how powerful His sin is. You see, if you judge all this based on how big your sin is, you're basing it on the wrong thing. Because it's how great, how amazing that God is. Some of you are here tonight. You've never invited Jesus to come into your life. I want to tell you, He's the only hope that you have. He's it. And I want you to know, nobody else can forgive you. Hey, most people won't. And so I want to live my life to please the one, the only one who can forgive me. The only one who would show that kind of grace. Are you amazed by His love? Because I'll tell you, that's what a world wants to see. That's what a world wants to experience. There was a book that came out some time ago, and we're getting ready to have altar. And the book was called, What Would Jesus Say To... That was the name of the book. And every chapter was the name of somebody that you probably would recognize. And you've heard me, probably the last few times I've preached, make some kind of remark about Paris Hilton. And I got to tell you, I know, but I got to tell you, I know what Jesus would say to her. He would say to her, you are worth so much more than the life you're living. And He would say to her, don't sell yourself short. I can forgive you. I might have other things to say to her, but I'm not God. And I didn't have to listen to any of you or anybody else because it was God who forgave me. And I want to plead with some of you here tonight who have tried so hard to earn the grace of God. You'll never earn it. You'll never do enough for it. You could never work hard enough for it, because He won't let you earn it. But He will shower you with His grace if you will trust Him. He will forgive you, and no matter what you think you've done, no matter how bad you think it is, He can make you whiter than snow. And all that stuff is gone forever. Only God can forgive that way. And here's the gospel. He is willing to, if you will trust Him. So we're going to have a time of altar. And some of you here, you've never invited Christ to come into your life. Some of you haven't because you don't think He'll come in. I've got good news for you. There's nothing you've done that would make Him walk away from you. There's nothing you've done that if you invited Him to come into your life, He would say to you, "I'm sorry. I mean, that's too much for me." He is God. And He will forgive you. He will love you. He will embrace you. And He says in His Word that He already has a plan for your life. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. This is God. And some of you right now, you got your fist clenched and you don't want to hear that you can be forgiven, but you can be. You can be forgiven, and I want to invite you. Some folks are going to come and pray tonight at the altar. And if you've never invited Christ to come into your life, I want to plead with you to come to this altar tonight. And there's nothing magical about this altar, but I'm going to be down here and I would love to pray with you. And I would love to talk to you about what it means to have Jesus in your life. And for the rest of us, shame on us that we're not amazed by His love every day. And tonight, perhaps, is just a reminder to us, to you and to me, to be amazed by the grace of God. To be amazed by what He's done for us. To acknowledge that He didn't have to do it, and He did it anyway. Because you know what? There are three characters in that story. There's the Pharisee, the sinful woman, and Jesus. And let me help all of us. You're not Jesus. So, you are either the Pharisee or you are the sinful woman. And both stood in need of forgiveness. But only one would humble himself to the place of honoring God with her life. And God will receive that. So, you know, tonight, let's just be amazed. Let's stand in awe of what God has done. And then let's go love the world that way. What way is that? The way in which we've been loved. That when we didn't even deserve it. Hello, did you hear that? When we didn't even deserve it, He forgave us and He loved us. And there's somebody in your life right now, and they don't deserve it. But you should forgive them. And you should love them and you should embrace them. Because that's what Jesus did for us. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord Jesus, teach us, show us, give us the strength to be loving, to be forgiving. Give us the grace to be who we're supposed to be. And God, I pray for people tonight here in this room who've yet to experience Your grace, Your mercy, Your forgiveness. And I pray tonight would be the night that they open up their heart to You and invited You to come into their life and to receive what You want to give them. And God, help us to be amazed tonight. Help us to be thankful tonight. Help us to be grateful tonight, because we were that sinful woman. Thank You for Your grace. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come.